Hey, it's Arrow. Inside the LAProductions.us studio, when you need mobile entertainment, action, interaction, and total memories that'll last a lifetime, LAProductions.us. We are in the Southeast, and we can make it happen for you. We are unplugged and totally uncut with Kwame Mabalia. He's got a brand new book out. It's called Tristan Strong Destroys the World.
I'm doing well, Errol. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Dude, I just want you to sit back and just take in a big, deep breath, because you've done something that a lot of people have not, and you have not silenced your writing instrument, and your book has come forward. I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you so much. It's a lot, but I am thankful and fortunate every day that I get to do something like this, what I love for a living.
Well, look at what you're doing. You're opening up the door to a part of the world that we know nothing about. I mean, writing about African-American folk is something that we're going to discover, and you're going to lead us to Google, and we're going to learn more.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I always tell people that, you know, I'm not trying to write a history book, or I'm not trying to lecture when I write, but I do want to just, you know, I want to leave seeds for people. I want them, you know, to think and ponder about the different stories, the different characters, the different scenarios that unfold in the book, and then go off and explore on their own. Because my favorite thing is when I put down a book and I'm encouraged to learn more about what happened, you know, was this based on a real story, or who are these characters, or, you know, are there going to be more of these characters in the future?
And only you can answer that question, but it always starts off, and this is the way that I am as a reader, it has to start off with a great character with a brilliant, memorable name, Tristan Strong. That says it right there.
Yeah, and I love his name, and this is something, when I go talk to students, when I, you know, in the before times, when I could go on school visits, or when I do them virtually now, I always bring up his name, because Tristan, in the beginning of book one, he always feels that his name is a lie. He doesn't believe in his name. His name is Tristan Strong, and he feels the complete opposite of that. And it's all about how you grow into feeling and being proud of who you are and what you're capable of and what you learn that you're capable of doing when faced with adversity. So I love Tristan's name.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I can so relate with that story, because my mom called me. My real name is Clarence. I've never believed in that name. So Tristan is going to teach people who don't believe in their names that, you know what, you can still be who you are on the inside. It doesn't need a label.
Exactly. You know, whether your name is Clarence, whether your name is Tristan, or like me, whether your name is Kwame, you know, when you're growing up and your name might be a little different, you know, it can be difficult, especially in elementary and middle school. And so this story, you know, of Tristan, it's all about him growing into who he believes he's, you know, his powers, what he can do and what he represents, and making a name for himself, not letting his name define him, but him defining his name.
And you know, this is what's needed right now with all readers of every age group, because when you're going out there into this COVID post generation, we're going to need strength. We're going to need that chutzpah and that perseverance to grow forward. And Tristan is like, all of a sudden we have an image, a face.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why I really love the covers of the book, in both book one and book two. In book one, we have Tristan, you know, back to back with John Henry, and Tristan is facing adversity head on, but he also has this adult, this grown up figure who has his back. And that's what I like, in, you know, for us in the real world, for these kids and children and young readers who are going to go out into this environment, know that they can do and face and overcome adversity, and also understand that we as adults, as grown-ups, will have their back and will support them as they do this.
Yeah. I know it sounds like that I've been talking motivation and all that kind of stuff about this book, but there really is a storyline here. And Tristan's grandmother is missing, and that's where the journey begins. And the storyline just opens up, and you take us for a ride, sir.
And, you know, I love Nana. You know, we all have some matriarch, some matronly figure in our life. Tristan's Nana is the one who told him stories. And as, you know, the Tristan series is really a series about storytelling. When the storyteller goes missing, who is the one that provides those stories for the future? Who is the one who carries those stories forward? And Tristan going off to find and rescue his grandmother, it's both something that's very personal for him, and I think something very relevant for us, and how we care for those elderly folks in our lives who meant so much to us as we were growing up.
I'm glad that you put that forward, because that's one of the things that after my father passed, I no longer had his stories. I didn't record anything. I didn't write them down. I have to rely on my own imagination to, what, rewrite the stories? So I love the way that you did this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a and I have a similar story that, you know, when my father passed, you know, I was fortunate enough to, I sent him a voice recorder to allow him to, you know, to record, you know, tell me, I didn't know a lot about his life. But what's interesting is I have been unable to listen to those stories because they're so emotional, you know, and once I listen to them, I don't have any more new stories from my father. And so it's all about how do we create, how do we leave this legacy of history and imagination and storytelling to, you know, upcoming generations. And Tristan and Nana, they embody that relationship that I think you and I are talking about.
Speaking of storytelling and father figures, guess who I was with yesterday? Rick Royden. I was with the man, dude.
Yeah, and Rick, you know, he wrote a letter to, you know, at the beginning of book one that was really emotional because he really believes in this. He really believes in providing a platform and using his platform to boost new and upcoming writers, because you know there are stories that have existed for for decades that people are just now becoming aware of, and by him using his platform to help share it and push it further out into the world, that just means more people are becoming, you know, familiar with Tristan, but also they're becoming familiar with African American folktales and West African culture.
My wife is a teacher at an inner city school, and she loves this book for the reason that her students now have somebody that they can tap into. They can, you know, they can grow with through the reading and everything like that. And the way that you use your words, sir, you use your words in a way that gets inside the imagination.
And I think, I'm fortunate enough, you know, my mother was a writer. I love studying under, you know, different storytellers. We talk about Rick. You know, I love reading Toni Morrison. I love, you know, reading, you know, different accomplished storytellers, not just writers, but storytellers. Because there are storytellers who might not have written a word, but you can sit down on their front porch or, you know, with them in a rocking chair or over the phone, and they will spin a yarn that has you laughing and crying. And that's what I try to do. That's what I try to emulate, is to tell a story that will resonate with readers young and old.
Hey, research shows that's the reason why podcasting has become too big. I mean, not too big, but it continues to grow because people want to hear stories. So do you want to grow in that direction too, Kwame?
Podcasting, you know, kudos to them. I love talking. I love hearing, you know, I love running off at the mouth and hearing myself speak. But the editing that goes into it, you know, the engineers behind the background, kudos and applause to them because they are doing, you know, they're wearing many hats, you know, in storytelling and then packaging up in a fashion that it's easy to listen to.
So now, what is it like for you to create a character like Tristan that you know is, you know, that he's getting stronger and stronger and he's connecting with the readers and stuff? It started out first as a thought. How did you build upon that thought and have the courage and confidence to keep feeding that thought energy?
I mean, it's almost, you know, having faith. I believe, you know, writers, they have a lot of faith in the story creation process. It all starts with the character. You want a character that is empathetic, that readers can relate to, that they can see themselves in, whether it's them entirely or aspects of themselves. And it's giving those characters that real honesty, right? Like, Tristan is afraid of heights. I'm afraid of heights. I know a lot of people out there who are afraid of heights, and they relate to that. You know what I mean?
I do. Now, was there ever a moment during the writing of the book, Tristan Strong Destroys the World, that your fingers were on the keypad, and all of a sudden Tristan, you know, says something on that computer screen, and you argued back, or you go, no, Tristan, I'm not taking it there?
I can't give spoilers, but there are a couple moments towards the end of the book where I'm like, are we really going to do this? You know, is this really what you want to do? Is this really how the story is going to unfold? Because I tend to have an organic writing process. And if I'm having a conversation with the character in the world as I'm writing, as it's unfolding there on the page. And so I'm asking myself and I'm asking Tristan, it's like, all right, are we going to commit to this? If we're going to commit to this, we're going to do it. But let's be sure that this is what we want to do.
So now what are you going to do in a series where, I mean, let's say with Tristan, I mean, he's going to continue getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you're going to have to face the same door that Rick Royden did in the way that he brought the Apollo series to an end. Are you, do you have to forecast that? Or is it, it's like, I'm going to deal with it when it happens. I'm not going to deal with it now because I'm not going to write a story.
I mean, it's such a complicated decision and process. I'm in the middle of working on book 3 right now. And it's, you know, I'm trying to wrap it up in a way in which the story arc comes, you know, is complete. But you're still left with this idea that Tristan is out there having adventures, having fun, making friends, and growing as a person and as a hero. And I think those are the best books. They don't shut the door completely. They leave a little crack just so that you can kind of peek through, maybe look through the keyhole and see this character enjoying life.
So are we going to see Tristan become a cartoon character or an action person in a movie? Because there is some stuff here that really just screams either Netflix, Hulu, or even the big screen.
I really hope so. I don't think there's an author out there who would refuse an adaptation because it just means more eyes on their stories. And so, listen, I want the listening audience, I want the readers, I want the viewers, I want everyone to just clamor and shout for an adaptation of Tristan, because I think it would be absolutely amazing.
I could totally see T-shirts and things like that as well. I mean, during your downtime, do you just ever sit there and doodle T-shirts or anything? Because, I mean, your imagination is just on fire, dude.
Look, I'm going to be completely honest with you here. My artistic skills are probably a hair above zero. I can't draw worth anything, so I can imagine them. But I leave the art creation to much more talented people, and I'll just work on the words.
So now what are fans of your stories really, are they reaching out to you? Because, I mean, during these COVID days, I mean, you've actually created a story here that's going to give them an opportunity to kind of leave reality for a while. And that's what's great about your writing. Are they reaching out to you?
They absolutely are. I'm on Twitter a lot, and, you know, just yesterday, a parent showed a picture of her daughter dressed up as one of the characters in the book, Gumbaby. And that's, you know, that's amazing. That is so, I really get emotional when I see that, because it means the readers are getting the book, they're understanding, and they're relating to it. And when you have readers that relate to your stories, you have readers for life.
I just love your attitude. Man, you got to come back to this show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you, sir.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me. And look, I'd love to come back. Maybe when book three is out.
And well, Rick has been with me 3 times. So the thing to do is you got to get past Rick now. Come on back. Let's beat those numbers.
You don't have to tell me. I will compete with Rick any day of the week. I want a rematch, Rick.
You be brilliant today, okay?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.